my son and his new wife, who is now pregnant, and her mother and her brother are all coming down from Washington to spend Christmas with us. The first time. It's going to be a new experience. We're all going to be packed into our little tiny house, sleeping on the floor, on the couches, every little space we can find. But boy, you can imagine the worrying that's going on. Is everything just right? Are all the lights around the house, you know, the outside of the house, around the drain gutters, are they all working? One's not working, make sure you fix it. The tree. Oh, don't even talk to me about Christmas trees that have lights already in them. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the ones that you buy and then you put the lights on them. These are trees with lights already in them. And one of them strings decides to go out. I spent almost an entire afternoon looking for one crazy little bulb. Never found it. So our tree is less than perfect this year. On the back side, if you go around the back side, you'll see that there are some lights out. All the things we worry about, all the things that we think about in preparation for Christmas. So don't tell me you don't worry. Come on. When you go out shopping, looking for that special gift, for that special person, do you worry? Do you worry that you're going to get the right one and they're not going to take it back? Secretly, hoping that you won't notice that they're not wearing that sweater next year. We worry, don't we? You know, the first time I really came in touch with the fact that I was someone who worried, that sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's true. I had never worried before. I'd lived on this nice, squeaky little compound in Korea, this little environment, this little, a little America is what they called it. It had a 9-foot wall around it with barbed wire, a guard at the gate, and even the rats and the cockroaches had to beg to get in and out. I lived in this wonderful, warm little environment where we all had a great time together. All my friends, we played every day for hours and hours. We had a wonderful time enjoying each other's company. Suddenly, at the age of 10, I was taken out of that nice, warm little environment, and within 24 hours, I was in a totally, totally different environment. The jungles of Borneo. My first night there, I will never forget. There were so many weird sounds. Now, mind you, this new compound in the jungles of Borneo had no gate, had no fence, had no guards. It didn't even have street lamps and street lights. It was pitch black. And the jungle was only about 20 feet from my back. My window, my bedroom window. To make things worse, the window didn't really have glass in it. It had louvers that you could open and close, and no screens. So my first night, you can imagine, I was replaying in my mind all the Eric B. Hare stories about Hiss the snake, and about the leopards, and about all the wild animals that live in the jungle, and all the weird noises. Every noise I heard, every sound I heard coming out of the jungle, my eyes got bigger and bigger as I sat in the middle of my bed, holding my knees and hoping that I would make it through the night and not be eaten by a leopard. One night, two nights, three nights I stayed awake, worrying that something terrible was going to happen to me. By the fourth night, I decided, okay, Lord, I am dead tired. I can't keep this up. So guess what? If I die tonight, God, it'll be for your sake, and I would just be another martyr. Yeah, I was a mess. But now, at 43 years later, I can look back and say that that was not the only night that I worried. There have been many nights. Not worried about leopards or cobras or other weird creeping things that come out of the jungle. Worried about life in general. But it was back then that I realized, that I came to the realization that I was genetically predispositioned to be what we call a worrywart. Of course, I didn't know that then. It took me many years, and listening to my father talk and my grandmother talk, I began to realize that this was something that was passed down from generation to generation. Any of you identify with that? The idea of worrying about things, anything. Just worrying about that you're worrying. Huh? Have you ever laid there in bed at night and you're worrying? And you're thinking, well, if I keep worrying like this, there's something's going to happen. I'm not going to get enough sleep. I won't be able to work tomorrow. I'll be so tired. I'll be wiped out. I'll get a cold. I'll be sick. Worrying about worrying. How crazy is that? Genetically predispositioned. Yep, you look at my family tree, and there is one straight line of worrywarts right up the branch. Four generations. The second thing was that I was predispositioned also to have a huge imagination. Didn't realize that until I had a son with the same imagination. I was told that I had an imagination, but I didn't realize what it was all about until I had a son that I watched and I realized incredible imagination. Artistic people tend to have that. They tend to see things in much greater detail, in much more flagrant and much more, what shall I say, they just see it differently. And of course, you know, when you are artistic and you also have an imagination, you visualize things in full color and also in stereo. The third thing that I realize is that I was young and I was inexperienced in life. Inexperienced in faith. I had to learn to place my trust in God. I had to learn to not worry and stop worrying about worrying and leave it in God's hands. I had to learn, as the scriptures say, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 6th chapter, here is Jesus. By the way, as Jesus was saying this, I can't help but think that he was looking right at Peter and maybe James. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. My wife has a cousin that I've heard about over and over again, repeatedly, from many family members. Oh, don't wait for her. It takes her 2 hours to get ready in the morning. 2 hours to get ready in the morning? What is she worried about? I know that's not funny to some of you, because maybe you take that long. 2 hours. Worrying about how you look, worrying about how you're dressed, making sure that your shoes match your clothes, making sure your hair is just right, in my case, your beard, making sure that everything is just right, worrying about what people will think about you, what their perception of you will be. So, there I was, sitting there on that bed, with my eyes bugging out, sweating and hyperventilating, all worried about things that didn't even exist. Utterly exhausted, and I think back on that experience, and I have to laugh. As I was recounting this in my own mind this week and thinking about this, I really had to laugh at myself. Because life has given me perspective now. I have experience now. I can look back on that and I can say, how silly, how foolish. Worry. What's prayer got to do with it? Well, I can say that as I look back on that experience there, my first night in the jungles of Borneo, one of the things that I had to learn, and it didn't come quickly for me, I had to learn to pray and then leave it in God's hands. To not sit there and worry, to not mull things over in my mind, but to allow God to take control of the events of the night. To place all my cares in His hands. Between the flashes of lightning, we can barely make out the silhouette of a small fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. The waves are high and they are smashing against that boat, and the sail is being torn by the wind. The rain is coming down hard, and as the lightning flashes, we see a group of men in this boat, and they are struggling to keep that boat afloat. Their eyes are bugging out as they struggle at the oars. Men who are strong. Men who are self-willed. Men who knew the ways of the ocean. Men who knew how to survive in harsh conditions. But it seems at this point, it seems in this storm, they realized that they were going to sink. And so, they notice, in the middle of the chaos of their life, in the middle of that storm, on the verge of sinking, they notice Jesus. And you know what Jesus is doing? Sound asleep, like a baby. Sound asleep in the middle of that storm. Jesus has already placed His trust in His Heavenly Father. And He is sound asleep. He's not worried at all. He's not worried about the danger around Him. And the disciples, though, have enough worry to go around. And they cry out to Jesus, "Lord, save us." And they wake Him up from His peaceful sleep in the storm. You know the passage that I'm referring to. It's found in Luke, the 8th chapter, if you would like to look at that story. In Luke, the 8th chapter, we have the story of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The 8th chapter, Luke 8, 24. We'll start with 22. Let's read the story. It's a short story. One day Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." You see, they had done everything that they could to survive. They have done everything possible to survive the storm. There's one thing they had left to the very last, and that was to include Jesus in their struggle. How often do we, as humans, struggle with events in our lives, with experiences in our lives, with the pain in our lives, with the suffering in our lives, with the difficulties in our lives, and we wait to the very last minute to ask God to come and save us. Oh, we worry, and we worry, and we fret, and we worry about worrying. And then finally, when we've worried enough and we struggled hard enough, we see Jesus asleep in our boat. And then we include Him. Well, we say to the story in Luke, "What silly boys." They actually forgot that Jesus was with them. Or perhaps this was just some kind of a test of manliness, and they were going to somehow gut it out. They were going to make it to the other side on their own strength and their own power. And so they waited. They waited until they were about to drown, and then they called on Jesus. Well, whatever whatever was going through their minds, Jesus stood and calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stood and calmed the storm in their lives. Imagine the shock. The shock effect of being in the midst of a storm, and then suddenly, instantly, it's calm. A massive storm suddenly turns to instant peace and tranquility. Once again, I ask the question, why is it that we prefer at times to allow ourselves to be worked into a frenzy before we call on Jesus? Is it that we don't have faith? No. Are we so lacking of excitement in our lives that we have to wait until the last minute before we call on Jesus? No, I think most of us have enough excitement in our lives to go around. You know, I believe that more often than not, if you're like me, we allow our own humanness and worry to blind us to the fact that Jesus is waiting for us to call on Him. He's even in your boat, experiencing the storm with us. He's riding out the waves, feeling the chilling blasts of wind on His face. Jesus knows our every trial. He is acquainted with our infirmities. But we haven't called on Him. He's waiting for our call. That prayer that escapes our trembling lips, our lips of fear. One of the authors of a book that I was reading, or I have been reading actually for a number of weeks now, points something out here, and I'm paraphrasing this. The opposite of faith is not doubt, but worry. For doubt can eventually strengthen your faith, but worry only drains you physically and spiritually. And you know what? God can't do anything about your worry. That's something that goes on right here between these ears. Worry is something that we're in control of. Worry is something that we are able to decide whether we're going to spend a night worrying or whether we're going to lay it at the feet of Jesus and let Him take care of it. Let Him calm the storm in our life. So what does prayer have to do with it? The most important thing that ever happens in prayer is letting ourselves be loved by God. Let me say that again. The most important thing that ever happens in prayer is letting ourselves be loved by God. You see, worry stands in the way of receiving and feeling the warmth of God's love. And so we have to let it go. We have to lay it at the feet of Jesus. We have to release it so that we can experience God's love. And prayer is one of the ways we can do that. Psalms 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, when we worry, there's a storm raging in our hearts and in our minds. When we worry, there's a wild, crazy tornado going on in our minds, and we need to be still and know that God loves us and cares for us. One of my favorite authors put it this way. Do not worry is like slipping into a warm bubble bath and letting God's love wash all over us, allowing the water of God's love to calm our souls, giving us a sense of weightlessness from the burdens of our lives. You ever come back from a snow skiing trip or been out in the cold and you turn on that bathtub? When I was a kid, we used to love to do this. Priya was, in the winter, was a cold place. We had the winds blowing down from Siberia and Manchuria down into Korea, and it would get sometimes 30 below zero. It was freezing cold there. But you know how kids are? Kids will play until their lips are blue and they are shivering and chattering their teeth before they come in. It's fun out there. And so you come in from the cold and you come in and you fill that bathtub up and you slip into that bathtub and oh, it feels so nice and so warm and so soothing. Of course, you got to add the bubbles too. You know, when you're kids, you do funny things like that. I don't know if adults should, but kids like to do that. That's how it is when we come in from the cold, the storm in our lives that surrounds us and batters away at our ship, that batters away at our minds and our lives. We come in out of the cold and we slip into the warmth of God's love. And we're warmed to the bone. Now wash me and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. God wants to love you. And in the midst of the worry and the turmoil and the struggle of your everyday living, and even at this time of Christmas, when our minds are so filled with everything else, God wants to love you. He wants to calm the storm in your life. But you've got to recognize that he's in the boat. He's in the boat. And you need to ask him to come and calm the storm. Jesus, I believe, gave this passage of scripture in Matthew. In fact, it comes in the sequence, it comes right after the Lord's Prayer. And it's beautiful that Jesus, after showing his disciples and explaining to his disciples the importance of prayer, turns right around and gives this little mini sermon on worry. You see, I believe it's in that sequence in the scriptures for a reason. Because even though we know in our hearts, and even though we believe in God's power, even though we have faith, active faith in our lives, sometimes it's easy for us as humans to slip into that old worry, that old worry mode, that track, and forget to call upon the Lord. I know it's a challenge. It's a struggle. But God has promised that if we don't worry, he's going to provide everything that we need anyway. And more. More than we need. More than we can imagine. More than we can even believe. The things that God has prepared for us. Just don't forget that God's in the boat with you. He's just waiting for you to call. Send up a prayer for help. Let's continue to worship him in song this morning.